The rear car door swung rustily open, and a bursting desert boot stepped down onto the running board. The kook's head was bandaged. He looked tired and pale.
"I will not stay under the same roof with a loose woman. I'm shocked and hurt. My own mother. No wonder you've turned on me so savagely. I suspect that you are using me as a scapegoat for your own feelings of guilt."
What a family, Mr. Levy thought. The mother did look like something of a floozy. He wondered why the undercover agent had wanted her.
"Shut up your dirty mouth!" the woman was screaming. "All this over a fine, decent man like Claude!"
"Fine man," Ignatius snorted. "I knew you'd end like this when you started traveling around with those degenerates."
Along the block, a few people had come out on their steps. What a day this was going to be. Mr. Levy ran the risk of getting into a public scene with these wild people. His heartburn was spreading out to the limits of his chest. The woman with the maroon hair had fallen to her knees and was asking this guy,
"What I done wrong, God? Tell me, Lord, I been good?"
"You're kneeling on Rex's grave," Ignatius shouted. "Now tell me what you and that debauched McCarthyite have been doing. You probably belong to some secret political cell. No wonder I've been bombarded with those witch hunt pamphlets. No wonder I was trailed last night. Where's the battalion matchmaker? Where is she? She must be lashed. This whole thing is a coup against me, a vicious scheme to get me out of the way. My God! That bird was doubtlessly trained by a band of fascists. They'll try anything."
"Claude's been courting me,"
Mrs. Riley said defiantly.
"What?"
Ignatius thundered.
"Do you mean to tell me that you have been permitting some old man to paw all over you?"
"Claude's a nice man. All he done is hold my hand a few times."
The blue and yellow eyes crossed in anger. The paws closed over the ears so that he would not have to listen to more.
"Goodness only knows what unmentionable desires that man has. Please don't tell me the whole truth. I would have a total breakdown."
"Shut up!"
Miss Annie screamed from behind her shutters.
"You people are living on borrowed time in this block."
"Claude ain't smart, but he's a nice man. He's good to his family, and that's what counts. Santa says he likes the communists because he's lonely. He ain't got nothing else to do. If he was to ask me to marry him this very minute, I'd say, 'Okay, Claude.' I would, Ignatius. I wouldn't have to think twice about it. I got a right to have somebody treat me nice before I die. I got a right not to have to worry about where my next dollar's coming from. When Claude and me went to get your clothes from that head nurse, and she hands us over your wallet with almost $30 in it, that was the last straw. All your craziness was bad enough, but keeping that money from your poor mama—"
"I needed the money for a purpose."
"For what? To hang around with dirty women?"